The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Bill.
And I've already screwed up the audio twice, so, you know, we're off to a rocking start.
But nobody knows but you.
Well, everybody knows. I just told them.
Oh, okay.
Because we are all about transparency here on the Shadows.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm pretty sure they all heard when the station went silent.
Yeah.
It was like audio and not so much audio anymore. Because I hit the wrong button.
It's a good thing my favorite color's clear.
Aw, that was funny.
Yeah, I'm feeling funny. Feeling funny full of mowing my grass and getting allergies.
Why didn't you take something? Then you would have been goofy.
I did. Well, I took something afterwards, but it's yearly. What are you going to do?
You should get those things like, you know when they teach kids to swim and they do the little nose pinchy thing like that? You should get one of those while you're doing the grass.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
I'll wear a helmet. Don't hurt myself.
Well, that's different.
Anyway.
He goes out there in full football gear. What are you doing? Yep. Mowing.
Mowing my lawn. Well, it's Monday again.
It is. What days is the days?
It is April 12th. And for all you who care, it is National Big Wind Day.
Excuse me?
Big Wind Day.
Like, I ate a lot of beans, so I passed a big wind?
Well, I guess it's because of the April showers thing. It's, you know, April 12th is National Big Wind Day, commemorates the recording of the highest natural wind gust measured on the Earth's surface at 231 miles per hour. Pretty cool, huh?
Okay.
our friends in Colorado, it is your day. Happy Colorado Day. One of my favorite days, National Grilled Cheese Day. Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day, to be exact. Not a big fan of licorice. It's Licorice Day. And then for the final one, National 412s Day. Number 12
okay.
is celebrated today. Give you a little insight to that one. We measure our hours in 12-hour sets. We buy roses in dozens, eggs. Pastries, but like a baker's is 13, right? Something like that. But so how many months are in a year? 12. So, you know, I guess it's because math lovers appreciate it because 12 is a perfect number of, you know, they can divide with. So that's why it's 12th day. I don't care. Yeah. But that's it. That's all I got.
Yay.
It is not 420 yet, Rain.
Yeah, 420 is like, that would be in 8 days, hence 420 is not 420.
No. But we can celebrate that, yes.
Yes.
For you. And
we won't be on the air on 420. We'll be on the air on 419, so I guess we can pregame.
Yeah, because it's 9 to 10, and basically if we were in...
England, it would be 420 already.
Right. So,
that works.
Yeah, exactly. But.
Yay.
Yeah. Right. Anywho.
So those were kind of less than enthusiastic days of days.
Except for the grilled cheese.
Well, grilled cheese is always good.
Yeah, because I would have made one if I knew it was National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. But I had a little mini pizza instead, so who cares, right? Do you really care what I had for dinner tonight?
I
mean,
do.
Come on.
I care. I care greatly. Also, yep. I don't got nothing. No, yeah. My children always like to tell me that grilled cheese is better when daddy makes it because he doesn't make it the black way.
Oh.
Because burned it. One time in the 5 years she's been alive, I let the grilled cheese sit a little too long, and it burned on one side, and she'll never let me forget that.
Nope, they never do. But I make perfect grilled cheese. But anyway, that's a story for another time.
You make perfect grilled cheese?
Yep, the paranormal grilled cheese. Yep.
We might have to have a grilled cheese conversations.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, what we got going on tonight?
So we're
going
to
sure
take...
people don't want to hear about our damn grilled cheeses.
I think they do. I think it's important to know that I can't cook, or that I can actually cook, but I am terrible at doing it because I'm lazy.
You screwed up one time.
Oh, no, I screw up all the time, mostly because I'm lazy.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I get bored halfway through, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I was cooking. Like, people who make recipes with, like, 27 steps and 52 ingredients, and they're like, oh, and I marinated this for 10 years, and this has been grilling for a month, and I'm like, yep.
Yep.
I'll eat it. I ain't cooking it. Swampus says they like it crusty and black. I'm in. You would be my favorite because you would love my grilled cheese.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to take a trip to France for this evening. Here.
I want to know about your bunny butt pancakes.
What?
I want to know about your bunny butt pancakes.
Oh, yeah. So for Easter, Ceiling Cat bought my children a bunny-shaped frying pan.
Cool.
And so for Easter, the girls got to eat bunny pancakes. They were not bunny butt pancakes because they had eyeballs. So
if you flip them over.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So Eric made them bunny pancakes for Easter, and they enjoyed it. Nice. And instead of, my kids don't like whipped cream because they're weird, but they like butter, so I used butter to make the little tail.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
It was very cute. It was a lot of mess because the pan is really shallow. And when you flip a pancake and the pan is shaped like a bunny, you have to get the flip perfect.
Yeah.
Or it splatters a lot.
Yeah, guitar-shaped one, so, yeah.
Yeah, see, so.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to France.
Yes, so we're going to go to France. There are no bunny pancakes in France at all. They had something else, though. They have croissants.
I like croissants.
Now I'm hungry. Damn it. Okay. Yeah. No, so we're going to talk about the ghosts of Notre Dame, which, if you don't know, Notre Dame de Paris, or Our Lady of Paris, is a medieval Catholic cathedral constructed to the Virgin Mary located in the heart of Paris, France. It's considered one of the greatest examples of French Gothic architecture because of its pioneering in the use of rib vaults and flying buttresses.
Ooh, see? There's flying buttresses.
I figured you would like that word.
It's like a bunny butt, yeah.
Yes, it's like a bunny buttress.
See?
It's got enormous and colorful rose windows, as well as naturalism and abundance of sculptural decoration. And it's world famous also for its organ and its church bells. Construction on the cathedral began in 1163 and didn't finish until 1260. So it took almost 100 years to do the initial construction. And that doesn't include all of the improvements and the expansions and the updates and everything that happened for another 300 years after that.
Yeah, the art and everything, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Since its construction, it's been the site of coronations and funerals of many heads of state and dignitaries and all kinds of things. The cathedral has been progressively stripped of its original decoration, however, and works of art over the years. Several noteworthy examples of Gothic, Baroque, and 19th century sculpture and a group of 17th and early 18th century altarpieces remain in the cathedral's collection, along with some of the most important relics of Christendom, including the crown of thorns, a sliver of the true cross, and a nail from the true cross are preserved at Notre Dame.
Right.
The rooster weather vane atop the spire, formerly atop the spire, contained three relics, the tiny piece of the crown of thorns I just mentioned, and then a relic of St. Denis and of St. Genevieve, the both patron saints of Paris.
I just thought that was an odd place to keep them.
Well, I actually know why they keep them there. I learned on the tour. I've been to Notre Dame.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they say on the tour, that they put them up there so it could look over all of Paris and spread its blessing.
Oh.
and also to protect the congregation from lightning, which is what Weather Vanes are supposed to do.
Okay.
Yep. So it was placed there in 1935 by Archbishop Jean Verdier to protect the congregation from lightning and other harm. The rooster with its relics intact was recovered in the rubble shortly after the 2019 fire. So it actually, even though it fell off the spire and into the burning pile of stuff that was happening during that fire, it actually survived relatively unscathed.
I thought that would have been placed up there years and years before. I didn't realize it was that.
So the pieces that the 1935, it went up there to replace what was already up there, which was basically just a kind of a cross shaped weather vane.
Yeah.
The rooster and its reliquary. Didn't go up there to the 30s. Unlike some other French cathedrals, Notre Dame is originally constructed without a crypt. In the medieval period, burials were made directly into the floor of the church or in above-ground sarcophagi, as well as tomb effigies. High-ranking clergy and some royals were buried in the choir and apse, while many others, including low-ranking clergy and laypeople, were buried in the nave or the side chapels. There is no surviving complete record of all the burials made at this time.
Right.
So in 16... Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been, I mean, hundreds of years, 800 years, 900 years that they've been burying people. In 1699, many of the choir tombs were disturbed or covered over during a major renovation, and remains were exhumed and reburied in a common tomb beside the high altar. The priest at the time said, we have disturbed the peace. I now expect nights of unquiet slumber. Mm. Which I wonder if he was talking about ghosts, because I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to say, especially being a priest.
Yeah, in a holy church, you would think they'd be, transferred properly and put at rest and re-blessed and
They were, but, I mean, he basically said, we've disturbed their peace. Ooh. I expect many nights of disturbed slumber. Like, that's kind of like, okay.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't the Catholic Church frown upon believing in ghosts, like ghosts?
See, it's kind of hard to say. It's kind of a weird gray area because while they do, they also have made an entire art of exorcism. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So right. Common ghosts, not so good. The Holy Ghost and the demons.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of, it's kind of a weird gray area.
Right.
So.
Okay.
In 1711, a small crypt measuring about 6 meters by 6 meters was dug out in the middle of the choir, which was used as a burial vault for archbishops if they had not previously been requested to be buried elsewhere. In 1758, three more crypts were dug in the Chapel of St. George to be used for burials of canon of Notre Dame. In 1765, a larger crypt was then built in the nave for canons, beneficiaries, chaplains, cantors, and choir boys. Between 1771 and 73, the cathedral floor is repaved with the black and white marble tile that's there now, which covered over most of the remaining tombs. This prevented many of the tombs from being disturbed during the French Revolution, which actually saved a large chunk of the cathedral at that point. In 1858, the choir crypt was expanded to stretch most of the length of the choir. During this project, many medieval tombs were rediscovered, including the nave crypt, and many other tombs are located in the chapels. Notre Dame was first majorly damaged in 1790 during the French Revolution, when rioters destroyed or damaged much of the religious icons and statuary. The public restored its interest in the building after the 1831 book Hunchback of Notre Dame was published. Soon after, much of the building was restored by royal command in the mid-1800s and again in the early 1900s until it was finally damaged in that massive fire in 2019. And it's expected to be closed now until 2024 at the earliest.
So they're rebuilding the whole thing.
I actually looked it up when we were going to talk about part of this is the first part of the first year that they, so the fire happened in 2019, right? So they spent most of 2020 trying to make sure that the walls didn't cave in.
Okay.
So they did that when they said, if we can get that part secured and then basically all the scaffolding that was up on the roof that melted and kind of like is falling down in chunks, they had to get that off. And they said, if we can get that off and secure the walls, we'll be able to rebuild. And they were able to do that. So now they've moved on to the second phase, which is kind of clearing out all the mess and figuring out exactly how to build it back up at this point. So
right.
it is being rebuilt. They have, yeah, they've saved enough of it.
Yeah.
That they're able to rebuild. So, so that tragic and extensive fire at Notre Dame de Paris sent shockwaves of sadness around the world. So no matter where you were or what religion you are, you saw those pictures and it was heartbreaking.
It was, yeah. I remember.
The towers were on fire. The works of art that you know were in that building. Yeah. Watching the spire fall was amazing. Like, I mean, yeah. not amazing yeah. in a good way, but just like you're kind of like, yeah. holy crap! Like, you know, like that's just it's scary. So one of the cool things about Notre Dame, though, is that I mean, it brought people together for sure. And some of that was even the paranormal community, because they kind of rallied behind and said, like, that's our cathedral. That's our haunted cathedral.
Right.
Which I know sounds really weird, but apparently there was a woman who runs a haunted ghost tour of Paris who raised, like, a whole ton of money from, like, people who had taken her tours and things to help some of the preservation of some of the artwork. So go paranormal cool. people.
Yeah.
Go you.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of crypts and everything in Paris. If I'm not correct, I should say.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got the Paris catacombs, which in and of itself is basically a giant right. maze of dead people.
Yeah, I'm not a big knowledge of Paris. I know you've been there, and you're you know that's part of your whole deal.
My whole deal.
Well, you know, you're very knowledgeable in a lot of different places, and I know you were. You know, you always loved going to Paris, so I'm sure that's one of your favorite places in the world. So that's what I meant by whole deal. You know, like mine would be the Jameson plant in Ireland, but you know that's a different kind of catacomb.
Yeah, I don't think that were not the same.
Okay. Anywho.
So like I said, this if you take a ghost tour in Paris, they will stop at Notre Dame and they'll tell you a lot of stories. And that's some of the ones that I kind of combed through and found some of the coolest stories about the ghosts of Notre Dame. And I'm not going to talk about the hunchback, just to throw that out there. That is...
Igor. Yeah.
Yes, but it was totally made up by, you know, Hugo for the story. No, so yeah. Unfortunately, not a. Some people believe that it was based on like some kind of urban legend or something.
Well, maybe it was.
It wasn't. I mean, Victor Hugo admitted he made the whole thing up just to.
Oh, okay.
He said he went on a tour to Paris. He saw the state of the cathedral because at that point it had been in major disrepair. It had been damaged in the Revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't being properly maintained or upkept, and he said he wrote the story specifically to draw public interest back to the cathedral.
Right.
So luckily, today the cathedral, while it's still a functioning church, is actually owned by the state. And therefore, obviously, with its millions of, visitors every year, it's getting preserved. So that's good. So. Anyway, ghost stories. You ready?
Good. Yeah, I am ready.
All right, so the earliest ghost story about Notre Dame, and probably the one you're going to hear if you go to Paris and take any kind of ghost tour, is from the 12th century, and it involves a locksmith who was hired to make the locks for all the doors and other lockable things in the cathedral. It was a major job for the most powerful organization in Europe, the Catholic Church. So the poor locksmith was under enormous pressure. The legend Absolutely. Is that he asked the devil for help.
That's fitting, yeah.
I don't know why you would ask the devil for help to build the locks for a church, but apparently that's what he did.
Okay.
So the devil agreed, and the trade-off, but he asked for no price at the time. So once the job was complete and all the locks were created, the locksmith actually died a few days later. And it says that the price that he paid was his soul, and his ghost has been seen wandering... the halls of the church.
Well, I guess he felt his soul was worth doing something for the church, so... just a thought. Maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would reach out to the devil to help you with church locks.
Right.
But apparently that's a thing you do, because there's a similar story from the 13th century, which involves a young blacksmith named Biscornet, who was hired to decorate the side door of the cathedral. Again, another big job. Mm-hmm. He was tasked with creating the magnificent door that leads to the entrance from the apse. Years passed. No matter how hard he tried, he could not put forward a design that was ended up being approved by the church. So after many failed attempts to deliver a door worthy of Notre Dame, the man resorted to prayer. But his prayers weren't answered in a timely manner, so he decided to take a more drastic approach and called on the devil for help. Soon it seemed as though his prayers had been answered, as he put forth an elaborate design that seemed to wow and please the church, and it was approved. Shortly after, the doors were created and then installed. They towered with a special type of magnificence, but there was one minor problem. The doors would not be opened with any amount of force.
No, oh, great.
Yeah, so workers were brought in to consult the iron worker about the doors, and they ended up finding him dead inside his apartment. He had hung himself and left a letter suggesting that the doors be doused in holy water. And after the doors eventually were doused and blessed, they were pried open with ease. Some people claim to have sighted the apparition of Biscornet, usually sitting in front of the doors he created after making a deal with the devil. And he's sitting, usually he sits with his head in his hands, looking at the door and then shaking his head, and then looking at the doors and shaking his head. He's also been seen examining the hinges as if trying to find a way to pry them open. Another claim is that there's a little bit of a homage to Satan hidden within the door's design. If you actually look at the doors with their iron swirling, there is a 666 pattern in the swirls. However, whether that was intentional or not is unknown. So apparently, in France, if you do not get an answer fast enough from God, the answer is
to... make a deal with the devil.
You go to the devil.
Awesome. Not.
Well, I mean... you gotta do something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know when I was young, I made a deal with the devil to be debonair and handsome and everything. It didn't work out too well. So.
I said, did you get a refund?
No, he didn't listen anyway. So, anyway, well, that's kind of funny because, I don't know if it pertains to it, but there's a small town where I'm from, Honeybrook. There's I call it a mansion, okay? It was a home for retired priests and nuns, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And basically when it was built, you know, somebody came over. I don't know if they were from France or England or whoever built this place, but it's absolutely beautiful. But the ironwork on the windows and doors and everything were all Christian related and had like the mark of Jesus on it and stuff like this. Well, this guy who built the place was a devout atheist. And when he built the place, he did not know that these ironworks were made that way. And then eventually it got sold to the archdiocese. So I think that's kind of weird. You know, it's kind of not the same thing, but I don't know why it reminded me of it. So I'll shut up now. But anyway.
Well, I actually think that's kind of interesting. Is that, you know, I mean, he obviously did not design it. So he designed it with Christian, like, iconography in mind?
He did not know. He was given the, like, here's five things you can choose from. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he picked that one, not knowing it was Christian-based, him being an atheist, and then eventually selling it to the Christian church, you know? So,
hey, religious money is just as green as everybody else's.
Right, but it's just weird, you know, when you brought that up, it's like the guy, you know, they have a demonic type, you know, pattern in that, and they didn't really know, you know what I mean? So anyway.
It's kind of cool. I tried to find a picture of the doors. I found the doors that they were talking about. I can't find the 666 pattern in them.
Okay.
because the picture wasn't like a close enough shot of the door. Like, I'm sure you have to be like right there looking up at it. So I might Google that while we're on break. But on that note, okay. We're going to take a real quick break. You're listening to the Shadows Radio on the PowerX Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Fight to climb the spire, to reach the funeral pyre. The plans and schemes and hopes and dreams lay on the fire. So becomes the world, a cloud, a string of pearls. As trumpets ring and choirs sing of lost believers. When I feel the power inside, a force that fails to hide from shattered dreams and lies.
Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps It Takes Two to Tango. Well now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the PowerX Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the PowerX Radio Network.
Hey there, have you heard of Jen and Jenna? They're the She Squatchers. The team came together in 2015 for the all-female Bigfoot experiment. They aren't just women in the woods looking for Bigfoot. They're psychic women. These girls are utilizing their extra senses to improve the chances of finding and interacting with Bigfoot. They share their experiences and interview others so they can learn all they can about Bigfoot. All this and more on the Journey Radio Show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on the ParaX Radio Network. And don't forget, follow them at She Squatches Official on Facebook and subscribe to their YouTube channel. Remember, put those walking shoes on as you join the She Squatches on the journey.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio here on the ParaX Radio Network. I'm still Rebecca.
I'm still Bill.
And we are still here.
Yep.
With less technical difficulties that time.
And a new nickname, yep.
And a new nickname.
Yeah, Floppy.
Oh.
Only
a select few heard that, so don't even...
I know, that's funny as crap, though, anyway.
Good job,
Bill. We love
Bill.
This. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Life's short.
So there's been a suggestion in the chat room that you should write and sing a theme song for the Shadows.
I would do that, but you know, I don't know how many Shadows country people are out there because I can't sing rock apparently. But yeah, whatever.
Yeehaw! My horse is in the shadows.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
No, that's good.
Hey, that's wonderful.
I'm super amazing at singing and at country.
You are. Oh, my God.
There's such lying happening. It's awesome. So, all right.
Back at it.
We have to go back to France.
Français.
Yes. Parlez-vous français? No, that's all I got. Nope.
Yeah, my dad was stationed in France in the Korean War, so that's, you know.
Yeah, but none of the class and, like, dignity ran rugged off on you at all.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Sorry.
Yeah, everybody can vouch for that one.
Oh, boy. I don't know where to go with that. But anyway, So we are talking about the ghosts of Notre Dame. So we talked about two early 11th and 13th century kind of workers who were working on the buildings who are now seen kind of rolling all over because they decided to make a deal with the devil. And in their deal with the devil, they ended up spending the rest of their lives at
purgatory.
Notre Dame, I guess.
But they made some damn nice doors. How's that?
But they did. And locks. You remember, the one was a locksmith and the one was an iron worker. So there were two different guys doing guy stuff.
Guy stuff. God, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds good. Guy stuff.
Guy stuff.
With the devil. Yeah.
With the devil. Or whatever.
Yeah. Anywho.
All right.
It's time for part two.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking ghosties.
All right.
So, the next one here, there's a famous Notre Dame ghost story that involves a woman who came to visit the cathedral in 1882. Her request was to climb one of the towers. A high point, literally and figuratively, when visiting, was turned down by the guards because she was unchaperoned. I guess, you know, Victorian era, you had to be chaperoned. So, according to local tale, she found an elderly woman to accompany her. When they reached the top, she revealed the real reason for the climb was she threw herself over the railing and was impaled on some spikes on the main floor.
Nice.
So her ghost has often been witnessed near the tower's gargoyles or wandering around the top of the tower.
Hmm.
So this is kind of your very famous woman in white. You know, people speculate why she was throwing herself off the top of a tower. The most common version that I saw was that she... was pregnant.
And made a deal with the devil.
Out of wedlock. There was no devil in this one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess committing suicide in and of itself is usually a deal with the devil, right? But,
pregnant out of wedlock.
Yeah, supposedly pregnant out of wedlock or something like that. Like some version of that where like either she was, you know, scheduled to be married and got jilted and or, you know, she was supposed to be married to this guy. They got pregnant and she and he left her, you know, but some version of that where basically she was in it, he wasn't, and that didn't go well.
Off she went.
Oh, which is heartbreaking.
It is. It's terrible.
So there is an alternate version of that story where there's a ghost of two unknown females that are frequently spoke of, and people claim to cite one or two of them walking across the roof of the Notre Dame Cathedral, weaving in and out among the Gothic architecture and gargoyles before suddenly disappearing. While no one really knows the origin of these mystery women, there are rumors suggesting they may have committed suicide by jumping from the roof of the cathedral. So I lumped these two together because the one is a very specific incident where you can actually find a news report of the woman who jumped. So, like, they know who she was.
Oh, okay.
The second one was a little more of a vague story, but it seemed too similar to not be, you know, kind of based on the same one. So I lumped them two together.
Okay.
So that one, like I said, was a little tragic, but you always have to have the woman in white.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have one of those.
Believable than the other ones, but, you know.
Wait, that's... so you think ghosts who were there because they made a deal with the devil are not as believable
as a woman jumping off the top and impaling herself on the fence? Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was pregnant? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll take your word on it.
Okay.
The devil made you do it. So another more modern addition to the ghosts of Notre Dame is Maria Antonieta Rivas Mercado Castellanos.
Who is good.
Who is a Mexican intellectual.
Sorry.
Yeah. A writer, feminist, and arts patron who was scorned by a lover in Paris, and she shot herself at the altar of the cathedral. So she did that in the early 1900s, and she's often been seen hanging around the cathedral itself.
Did what now on the altar?
She shot herself.
Okay. Yeah.
So she was scorned by a lover, and then I don't know why though you would go to the altar of it. I
don't get it. Yeah. You know. And did they burn the altar after that? Like take it out and burn it or anything? Or
why would they take the altar out and burn it?
Because it was an evil thing to do. It was, you know, suicide in the eyes of the Catholic Church is.
Oh yeah, it's pretty. But it's a marble altar from the 1300s. Why would you burn it? They probably scrubbed it.
I just heard the story of that dude somewhere, you know, was having, you know, like, what was it? I don't think he was a priest, but, you know, anyway, he had sex with, like, two women on the altar of a church, and they found out about it, so they burnt the altar because it was an ungodly act.
Oh.
This was recent, so, you know, you can Google that. It's pretty cool. Anyway.
Okay, well, there's no record of them burning the altar on this one.
Okay, I just wondered.
There is also a male spirit named Louis Vierne. He was the longtime organist at the church.
Okay.
And he fulfilled his lifelong wish in 1937 when he died while actually playing the organ at the end of his 1,750th concert.
Holy crap.
So when they say longtime organist, he was a longtime organist. And his spirit has been sighted up in the organ loft. You can see him sitting there playing and or, you know, sometimes they say you can hear the organ playing when nobody's actually playing it. And they think that it's Louis.
Well, that's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah. And so he got his lifelong wish, which was to.
Right.
To be there forever.
And he's still there. Doing what he loves for other people to hear him. That's awesome. That's a happy ending right there.
Well, I mean, you know, the man passed away, so it wasn't a super happy ending, but...
Well, you know, we all die, right?
I guess the happiest of circumstances that he could get his wish. Right. So
he's playing his organ, and he died doing it, doing what he loved, and he's still hanging around because it was his happy place, you know?
So that's...
That's,
a...
that's the way I want to die, playing my organ. Well, I don't play organ, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Walking away from that comment.
Okay.
All right. So in any church as old as Notre Dame, you know, you're going to get plenty of sightings of priests, monks, bishops, popes, religious figures kind of tromping around. You also, with a church like this, where you've got coronations, weddings, and funerals of world leaders, Henry VI was crowned as King of France there, married Queen of Scots, married Prince Francis there, Francis II. There was the coronation of Napoleon and Josephine, the funeral of Charles de Gaulle. So, I mean,
a lot of major,
obviously, it's a big church, and a lot of important events happen there. You know, so with that kind of history comes all the people who say, oh, well, I've seen so-and-so walking around. And a lot of those famous figures have been, quote, spotted. There's no specific stories of, like, you know, you'll always see Mary Queen of Scots at this spot. However, people have kind of, you know, reported various, like I said, various celebrities. So I didn't write down any of those just because they're so...
I mean, there was a lot of stuff went on in that place. Oh, yeah. So.
I mean, this thing survived not only the French Revolution, but both world wars. It was bombed for some reason, the Germans bombed around it, not in it. I think they thought that they were going to be spurned by the devil or something if they bombed it.
Right.
So there is one ghost of a very famous person, however, who is often spotted in the cathedral. And this one I did include because it was very specific. Victor Hugo, the author of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, who single-handedly kind of restored the public's interest in Notre Dame, has been seen a lot sitting in the asp of the church.
Huh.
Just sitting in a pew, hanging out. And he's got a very distinctive look when you see him. It's always a long black coat, kind of hunched over with his graying beard. And it looks like he's jotting notes in a notebook.
And he's, like, dead? Or is he still alive?
Victor Hugo is long dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no, Hunchback of Notre Dame came out in 1831.
I don't know this stuff.
Well, you would have paid a note of that if you were paying attention in the intro when I said The Hunchback of Notre Dame came out in 1831.
All right. Okay, that's cool.
I'm going to blame your allergies on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are two specific kind of priest stories that I wanted to call out. The first one was that there's apparently the ghost of a priest who appears as a brown mist. And he's actually been photographed. You can Google Brown Mist Notre Dame and find the picture. But you can actually see him walking up the right aisle during services.
Wow.
It's always the right aisle, and it's like this brown kind of clouded mist. So it looks like a big meatball rolling up the aisle.
Okay.
Which is interesting, especially if there's people who've actually gotten photographs of it. I think that's kind of cool.
Ooh.
And the second one is the priest who likes to shoo visitors out of restricted sections, which may in the past have been restricted, but might not necessarily be restricted now. So, like, they might be in a totally legitimate section that was previously restricted, and this priest will come and shoo them out, even though there's no priest whose job it is to shoo.
Okay.
So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't. What would you do if a ghost tried to shoo you?
If a ghost tried to shoo me, I'd be like, "Back off, dude!" You know, like, "I'm here. You're dead. Go away."
Really? That's what you would say?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Sounds good.
All right, and then you're right there.
No, I'm stuffed up. I'm sorry.
All right, and then the last thing I wanted to talk about before we have a little bit of conversation about this, but after the 2019 fire, there was a lot of theories that went around social media about people seeing angels, devils, and even Jesus himself in the smoke and fire of the burning church.
Yeah.
There's a couple of images you can see if you kind of Google Notre Dame fire and Jesus, where to me it looks like pareidolia or matrixing or, you know, any of those kind of terms where basically you look in and the void of where the walls or the like the fire is, you can see like a person shape, so I can see where they're like, oh, it looks like Jesus.
And it's absolutely. Look.
Yeah.
I did not, Stealing Cat, sorry.
Yes, you did. You owe cookies. I support this one. You just snotted in my ear.
Did not.
You did.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I seen that a lot of people said, oh, the face and the smoke looks like the devil, and you know, oh, I saw an angel in the rising smoke after the fire went out. Like, there's a lot of different, if you just Google that, like, there's so many of them.
Yeah, and I did see some of that stuff. So.
And I just, like, I mean, a lot of that I think is just the pareidolia effect of,
right,
like, seeing
things.
Right,
if you want to see it, you'll see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially smoke. Smoke is so wispy, and it makes such weird patterns in the sky.
Yeah,
you know,
like toast. Yeah.
Like toast?
Well, yeah, the Virgin Mary on toast and Jesus on toast. If you see a pattern and your eyes want to see a certain thing,
okay,
it'll create it, you know?
I got you. All right. I thought you meant toast was wispy. I'm like, wait, what kind of toast are you making?
Well, I burn my toast anyway, so.
So, those are some of the ghosts of Notre Dame. So, I have one question for you here before we wrap up for the evening is,
okay,
after this big fire, right, the fire basically shelled the entire building. There's no roof at this point.
Right.
Do you think that some of these ghosts who were known to walk on the roof of the building, do you think that they're gone? Do you think that they've relocated to the floor, maybe?
No. No. No.
Where do you think they are?
I think probably, I think they're still there, walking where they think that they should be walking, but nobody's probably looking. You know, we've had instances pertaining to this of Pennhurst, you know, state school, which is not too far from me, where there's dancing and there is, you know, music and everything being played on the third floor of a building. But during the day, there is no third floor anymore. Like, all the floors have collapsed and, you know, been gone. So I think that if these spirits or whatever, you know, walk the roof, then they're still walking in the same spots that they've always walked. You know what I mean? They didn't change it because there's no roof there anymore.
So you think they're just kind of floating above what would technically be the kind of what used to be the parapets and stuff?
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. I'd like to see that. I'm all in. If anybody can get a picture of the floating ghosties, preferably not from an upward angle, though, because I don't know how ghost clothing works.
Yeah. No, I think if they are residual and they're repeating their steps, that it doesn't matter that there's not a solid floor there, that they're just going to keep on, you know, doing what they were doing.
Well, what
even
if they're
if
not?
We can't see them.
What if they're not residual? What if they are fully intelligent?
Then they got, they're at Motel 6. I don't know. I mean, maybe they, you know, just relocated for now until they rebuild it.
Did you say Motel 6?
Yeah, well, if there's one nearby, you know, they got great, you know, continental breakfast. Like, I guess. I don't know. Motel Carousel.
I saw it. I groaned. I don't know where to go with that.
That's awesome. Motel 666.
That's just terrible.
That made me giggle. Yep.
I don't even. Nope.
Yep. Good one.
Nope.
Good
nope,
one.
Nope.
Anyway, so what do you think?
I mean, I was kind of the same place you were in the respect of, like, if it's a residual and they're just walking the parapets or whatever because that's what they did. However, somebody like Monsieur Louis, who, you know, I'm pretty sure is up there playing his organ up there on purpose. I think he's deliberately up there. I think he's still there. And maybe if he had to go, you know, take some shelter and hide,
yeah,
I'm sure he was. Or, even better, I bet you he was probably, like, yelling at the fireman, like, save the organ.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if maybe if anybody's heard organ playing in the ruins.
Well, it's not. It's not a ruin. It is a usable space. They've actually held services in there a couple of times.
It's
obviously
not like what it was.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, it's a shell, basically. Like, the roof is gone over a big chunk of the center of the church. Not the whole roof. And, I mean, the two main towers are still there. Many of the side kind of roofs are still there. But that main center section is what's gone.
Okay.
So they did hold, I think it was Christmas, I believe they held a concert. Okay. That they actually broadcast over like the web and stuff. You could see it from within the church. Like they actually, the choir actually stood like in the church and sang. So,
huh? I missed all that. That would have been cool. So,
I'm sure you can. I'm sure it's online somewhere if you just Google Notre Dame Christmas concert or whatever. I know they've done a few. So Easter is a big one for them too, where they always do a big sermon at Easter. And it's usually somebody famous who does the sermon, and it may not necessarily be a religious figure. It might be a political figure. It might be a, you know, a international figure of, you know, for some kind of importance. Mm-hmm. I don't know who did it this year, or if they even did it this year, or if they did it maybe virtually or something. I'm not sure. But,
right.
But yeah, there's a lot. They've been bringing life back to the space, which I think is great. But I mean, according to the French government, according to the French government, they don't have any plans to reopen the building to the public until at least 2024.
Wow.
But they did say that they didn't lose any major artworks.
That's awesome.
They were able to conserve and or preserve the majority of the artwork in the space. They did lose one or two kind of smaller paintings. They lost obviously the entire roof, which is beautiful in and of itself.
Right.
But
the weather vane remains.
But the weather vane survived. It fell. Right. It fell from a very high. Everyone in international television watched it fall.
Yeah.
With all of its reliquaries in it, and it survived.
Wow. Makes you wonder.
Well, I'm sure that's why people were seeing, you know, angels in the smoke and everything. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. On that note, we're out of time. So.
Sweet. Not.
So have a great night, everyone. We will see you all next week. As always, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Bill.
And we'll see you in the shadows.